This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
More impeachment finger-pointing. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, October 30th, glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
House Democrats are accusing Republicans of using testimony to try to reveal the identity of the whistleblower at the heart of the impeachment inquiry.
California firefighters are bracing for more extreme winds. Hear the rare warning from the National Weather Service.
At the World Series, the Nationals beat the Astros 7-2, forcing a deciding Game 7 tonight in Houston.
And Americans giving less money to charity.
There's like a trajectory where you graduate from college, you get married, you buy a house, and then you kind of start giving to charity at that point. Because millennials graduated during the worst economic downturn in a generation, they really haven't managed to accrue the kind of capital they need to make those major life milestones. And that includes they're not starting to give to charity the way that their elder peers did.
Leslie Albrecht at MarketWatch has the latest numbers on charitable giving and the trends that go with it. She's here in about 20 minutes. House Democrats have introduced a resolution that lays out how public hearings will be conducted in their impeachment investigation into President Trump. Also yesterday, Army Lieutenant Alexander Vindman, a Ukraine expert for the White House, testified behind closed doors and said in prepared remarks that he did not think it appropriate to ask another country to investigate a U.S. citizen. Separately, Democrats are accusing Republicans of using Mr. Vindman's testimony to try to unmask the whistleblower. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
The president's allies would like nothing better than to help the president out this whistleblower. Our committee will not be a part of that. We will not stand for that.
Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio.
It seems interesting to me that Chairman Schiff is so sensitive. I mean, pointed out last week, there are 435 members of Congress. One of them, knows who the whistleblower is.
Colonel Vindman, by the way, also called into question the truthfulness of earlier testimony by the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. Meanwhile, the House resolution could be voted on tomorrow. House Republicans want to start beefing up their defense of President Trump by focusing on the substance of the Ukraine allegations against him, a shift in strategy that comes as Democrats try to undermine the GOP's crusade on the impeachment process. More from Melanie Zanona, congressional reporter at Politico. Melanie, explain.
There is a growing desire among House Republicans right now to start really defending the president on the process, or on the substance, as opposed to the process. Up until this point, they've really tried to attack Democrats for holding what they view as an invalid impeachment process. They've been going after them for not holding hearings in public, for holding these witness interviews behind closed doors. But Democrats are making moves to bring those hearings out into the open. They're going to be releasing public transcripts, and so Republicans know that they can't use that argument forever. So there is a group of Republicans that are starting to lay the groundwork for that. They want to start building a case based on substance to defend the president against the allegations against the president. But it's still in the early stages. And, you know, a lot of Republicans do feel more comfortable attacking Democrats over the process than the substance.
Right. All right. So what kind of substance would they point to here?
Well, one thing that Mark Meadows, a top ally of the president's, has tweeted about is the fact that the aid to Ukraine was eventually released without actually Ukraine opening a probe into the Bidens. They say that's evidence that there couldn't have been a quid pro quo because there never was an investigation. So I think that's one of the things you'll hear a lot of. The other thing that Republican leaders were really zeroing in on is the call, the transcript of the call between the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine. And they say in that call, he never explicitly mentioned the aid. He never explicitly mentioned a White House meeting. And he didn't make anything contingent upon that call. Now, the problem there is that there's been tons of other witnesses who have testified about other actions beyond the call. And that's what Democrats are going to try to make as part of their argument for impeachment.
All right. You referenced, too, that it will be hard for some House members to make the argument because they're not in on all these meetings and depositions, right?
That's exactly right. Right now, only three committees are actually allowed to sit in on these closed-door depositions. And so there are some Republicans who have not been privy to these closed-door witness interviews. And they say, look, it's really hard for us to defend on the substance right now because we don't know what the allegations are. We're only getting cherry-picked statements and leaks from the Democrats on the committees. But the other piece of this is that some Republicans have expressed concerns about the call with Ukraine and other actions that have been detailed in some of these opening testimonies, and so they don't want to engage in the substance. The only thing they want to talk about is the process. So there is a little bit of a divide in the GOP conference right now about where they should shift their messaging.
We're speaking with Melanie Zanona, congressional correspondent at Politico. She's written a piece about the Republican impeachment strategy. How about voters' ability to grasp the changing strategy from, say, process to substance, while in the meantime, Democrats just using, you know, constantly use the word impeach or impeachment? Does it might it make their eyes gloss over?
It very well could, and there was that risk trying to focus on the process concerns as well. But Republicans think with that argument that they do have an easy sell to the American public, saying it's behind closed doors, that it's unfair, that it's just trying to undermine the results of the 2016 election. But as I said, the problem with that argument is that Democrats are going to be making this open very soon. A lot of this is going to be out in the public. And so they want to make sure they're getting out ahead of these allegations and then they're not caught off guard when it does start coming out in a much more public way in the coming weeks.
Yeah. All right. How about the Republicans who were on that House Intelligence Committee? What do we know about how they might handle things?
Well, what's interesting is the Democrats are making moves right now to formalize their impeachment probe. And one of the things that they're going to do is put all of the public hearings under the House Intelligence Committee. So, number one, that means a lot of the president's top allies, like Mark Meadows, as I mentioned, who sits on these other committees, they're not going to be involved in the public hearings.
Thanks, Melanie. Melanie Zanona, congressional reporter at Politico. The National Weather Service has issued a rare extreme red flag warning for Southern California through tomorrow evening in the midst of wildfire concerns, saying winds could top 80 miles an hour. Officials worry the winds could prove disastrous for the smoldering Getty Fire, which broke out in the wee hours of Monday. According to fire officials, 12 homes have been destroyed and 5 damaged in the wind-driven fire. Embers are still flying, which could easily spark brush fires elsewhere. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
We've been working closely in conjunction with insurance companies and with also our Department of Water and Power that this fire started when a tree branch fell on power lines, causing them to spark and begin this fire.
Wildfires throughout the state have forced evacuations of more than 180,000 people. They include the massive Kincaid Fire in Northern California, which has destroyed at least 124 structures. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it's a lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us. Lawmakers had critical questions for the CEO of Boeing, who testified before the Senate Commerce Committee yesterday. They're trying to establish what he knew about internal concerns that employees appear to have raised about the flight control system that led to 2 fatal crashes of the 737 MAX. In particular, senators repeatedly questioned CEO Dennis Muilenburg about instant message exchanges in 2016 in which 2 company pilots discuss egregious flight control maneuvers experienced during simulator tests of the MAX jetliner. Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal.
As I watched those loved ones stand. And frankly, as I reviewed this file over the past week or so again, and as I sit here today, my anger has only grown.
The hearing raised new questions about how forthcoming Mr. Muhlenberg was about safety problems after the first crash in October 2018. He is expected to face tougher questioning during a hearing in a House meeting scheduled for today. This portion of the program is brought to you by KiwiCo. There's now a better way for your kids to have fun learning thanks to KiwiCo. Their expert-designed innovative science, technology, engineering, art, and math, a.k.a. STEAM projects, are kid-tested. Among the testers, my 15-year-old daughter, who gave it a thumbs up. The Kiwi Crate, as it's known, is filled with inspirational, hands-on fun materials that explore art, science, and even engineering. Kiwi has 7 lines of products and can entertain and inform from age 1 to age 100. KiwiCo is a convenient and affordable way to encourage your kids to be anything they want to be. There's no commitment. You can cancel at any time. Monthly options start at $16.95 a month, including shipping. For our listeners, go to KiwiCo.com/Gordon to get your first month free. That's KiwiCo. KiwiCo.com/Gordon. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. KiwiCo gives your kids a reason to get off their phones. Again, go to KiwiCo.com/Gordon and get your first month free. That's KiwiCo.com/Gordon. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, defying White House orders, an Army officer serving with President Trump's National Security Council testified to impeachment investigators that he twice raised concerns over the administration's push to have Ukraine investigate Democrats and Joe Biden. Alexander Vindman, a lieutenant colonel who served in Iraq and later as a diplomat, was the first person to testify who actually heard Trump's July 25th call with Ukraine President Zelensky. He reported his concerns to the NSC's lead counsel. Vindman told impeachment investigators that the transcript of the call was mostly accurate but missing some words. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the president and other Republicans should not be attacking this particular witness.
The suggestion that because he's of Ukrainian origin that he has some dual loyalty, this Purple Heart recipient deserved better than that scandalous attack.
Trump on Twitter yesterday called Vindman a never-Trumper. Californians are still facing winds, wildfires, and darkness from yet another power outage that hit more than 1 million people. Frustration and anger mounted across Northern California as PG&E began its third round of sweeping blackouts. Governor Gavin Newsom.
There are people, potentially up to 300,000 customers, that may continue to see their lights out, which means roughly a full week with their lights out, which is simply unacceptable.
Fires continue to burn at both ends of the state. The chairman of the NCAA Board of Governors says the association hopes to avoid a court battle against states that are attempting to pass laws aimed at dismantling the NCAA's rules. The board voted yesterday to allow athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses, but much work still needs to be done to determine how that will work within NCAA rules. It all comes down to this. Game 7 tonight in Houston after the Nationals upended the Astros 7-2 last night to tie the World Series at 3 games apiece. The call on WJFK as the Nats pulled in front in the 5th inning.
Here's the pitch. Soto swings and hits one high and deep to right. This is way back. Going, and gone. Goodbye. Into the second deck.
It's been quite the unconventional road to Game 7 with the road team winning every game so far.
It's insane.
I know. I can't think of any championship like this.
Right? Ever. I mean, you're a fan of the home team leaving 6 games. You're not high-fiving.
No.
You're not going for the extra beer to celebrate.
No.
It's just silence.
I know. It's weird.
And Soto, by the way, continues to be in just off the charts. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Fewer Americans are giving money to charity, and the relationship with God may have something to do with it. The share of U.S. adults who donated to charity dropped significantly between 2000 and 2016, according to new data from the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy and Vanguard Charitable. More from Leslie Albrecht, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Leslie, what are we learning?
It's really interesting. It's actually one of those stats that kind of tells you a lot about what's going on in American culture at the moment. So here's what happened. In the year 2000, 66%, you know, like two-thirds of Americans gave money to charity. But by 2016, the last year for which we have data, just over half, only 53% of people said they gave money to charity. And what's going on here is something far more complex than just people not feeling like they have enough money to give. Part of it is because we're not going to church as much as we used to.
Because of the scandals and stuff? Is that what people say?
For Catholics, that's definitely an issue. Catholics are not giving as much money to the church as they used to after, you know, the sexual abuse allegations. But everybody is not as religious as they used to be. And the more religious people are, the more they give to charity. So when people stop being religious, they stop giving to charity. Not just to charities related to the church, but to all kinds of charities, secular charities also.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that number is 20 million? Is that what you said? 20 million fewer households?
Yeah. So it amounts to 20 million fewer households. But what's interesting is that the overall dollar amount that Americans are giving to charity hasn't really gone down that much. You know why? It's because really wealthy people are giving more to charity than they used to. So people with lower incomes are giving less, and really wealthy people are giving more.
Wow. So what can be done here? Any kind of professional strategist weigh in?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, one thing that the charities are doing is they're moving to kind of like a subscription model where you just give them a little bit of money at a time every month, and that helps people do it in chunks that feel a little more manageable. So that's something that a lot of charities are doing.
Mm. We're speaking with Leslie Albrecht, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. She's written an interesting piece about donations, and it's entitled "Fewer Americans Are Giving Money to Charity, and It's Not Just Because They're Worried About Money." You said, too, millennials are not giving as much?
Yeah, so this is another thing about the millennial generation. Traditionally, like, you know, when you there's like a trajectory where you graduate from college, you get married, you buy a house, and then you kind of start giving to charity at that point. But because millennials graduated during the, you know, worst economic downturn in a generation, they really haven't managed to accrue the kind of capital they need to make those major life milestones, and that includes they're not starting to give to charity the way that their elder peers did.
Thanks, Leslie. Leslie Albrecht, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Supporting our entire workforce, everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top,
top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com. Blocking out the noise and bringing you the facts. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, October 30th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. House Democrats introduce a measure to formalize impeachment rules. Millions bracing for blackouts as the Kincaid and Getty fires rage in California. The Fed expected to cut interest rates again today. New report says fourth and eighth graders aren't getting much better in reading and math. AT&T says the new HBO Max streaming service will cost $14.99 a month. And a winner-take-all Game 7 of the World Series tonight between the Nats and Astros. This portion of the program is sponsored by Salon Pas Lidocaine Plus Pain Relievers. With its blue skies and bustling tourist traffic, San Francisco is doing its best to appear normal. But thanks to a series of wildfires, a closer look reveals a level of chaos that's more typical of a Hollywood disaster movie. With high winds, blackouts, and flames, Marco Della Cava at USA Today is exploring whether this is the new normal. He's in Santa Rosa with evacuees of the Kincade Fire. Marco, what are you hearing?
Well, unfortunately, people are thinking it's the new normal, both in terms of the climate that's changing and basically fueling more aggressive and dangerous fires. And then on top of that, you've got our issue with Pacific Gas and Electric, which has an infrastructure that is perhaps, you could call it suspect, and as a result, they're shutting down their network at any sign of high winds. And that's leaving a lot of people without power, even if they may be nowhere near fires. So it's sort of chaos. It does look like a disaster movie sometimes.
And there's no solution, seemingly, that's going to arrive anytime in the near future, at least with the utility.
Right, and that probably lies at the heart of a solution, is getting some of those lines buried underground and things like that. But that's not an overnight fix. It's an expensive fix. And obviously the governor of California's had words for PG&E, so yeah, that's going to have to play out.
All right, what about the first responders? I know you touched on that angle, too.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's sort of working hard, and that's sort of the amazing, uplifting part of any story like this. But at the same time, these are events that happen once every few years or maybe even once a decade, and now they're happening almost annually, so everyone's worn a bit thin.
Especially these folks, I guess, who are at the very least being evacuated for a second time or maybe multiple times. Is there any way to stay optimistic here?
Well, right. I just arrived in Santa Rosa, which is about an hour north of San Francisco, where a lot of the evacuees from the Kincade Fire are. And, you know, there's a lot of sober reflection going on. And a lot of these people have been evacuated a few times in the last few years. And some, no doubt, have lost brand new homes that they lost once before. So I've heard some people say, I've had enough, I'm moving to New York State.
We're speaking with Marco Della Cava, national correspondent based in San Francisco for USA Today. He's written a piece asking if this is the new normal for California, these high winds and the wildfires, the blackouts. You address this sort of later on in your story, too, where you say climate apocalypse or a cyclical trend. What's being said on that front?
Well, you've got a little bit of both. Not surprisingly, there are certainly people who watch weather here who point out that California has had states of emergency in years past. There have been other fires in years past. I think no one's disagreeing that this has happened before, but it's the frequency with which it's happening that has some people alarmed.
And these winds, too.
Yeah, and the winds are fairly normal as well, especially down in Southern California, the Santa Ana winds. We're waiting for more winds up here. I haven't seen them today yet, and that's a good sign.
And this is generally the window, right? From, I don't know, what is it, mid-September to sort of mid-November? Is that roughly the range of when kind of the worst of it happens?
Yeah, that is essentially the worst of fire season, typically, because everything that has grown as a result of the rains in the winter has now dried out, and yet you don't have the new rains yet. So everything's very vulnerable this time of year.
And explain, too, because the whole subject has made its way to the presidential campaign trail. What are you hearing?
Well, I think to some degree it has. I talked to Tom Steyer, who's running for president. He's a Californian, a San Franciscan. And, you know, his point was that the federal government really needs to help California deal with this issue. And right now the White House is sort of at odds with California for a range of reasons. So that doesn't help, and his point was we can't really do it alone. It's too big a problem.
You're starting to see, maybe it might be hard to measure at this point, but any trend of folks actually saying, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore, other than just anecdotal stuff?
Well, at this point it is anecdotal, and you certainly hear the opposite. I've also had colleagues reporting in Southern California, and one of them spoke with a gentleman whose house almost burned but didn't, but had no intention of leaving. He sort of, look, I'm a Californian. This is what we deal with.
Thanks, Marco. That is Marco Della Cava, reporter at USA Today. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me on Twitter directly at Gordon Deal. It is 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us beyond the headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're a server or a bartender, a lottery ticket isn't something you'd necessarily look forward to as a tip from one of your customers. Of course, if you win, it could make your year. The latter was the case for one bartender in Missouri who was given a Powerball ticket by one of her regulars at Bleacher's Bar in the city of O'Fallon. The barkeeper named Taylor Russey told local TV that the unnamed man occasionally purchases lottery tickets for those at the sports bar, particularly under special circumstances like large jackpots. She accepted the ticket on October 19th and was stunned to learn from Bleacher Bar's lottery terminal the next day that a ticket with a lucrative sum had been sold, and it was hers, matching four of the five numbers drawn and the Powerball for a windfall of $50,000.
Wow.
Not bad.
That is with years worth of tips, you know,
yes.
If you're a bar regular.
Yes.
Cashed in one night.
Right. And of course, this is a regular, so, you know, she probably gets decent tips from him anyway.
Again,
if it was a perfect stranger, you certainly would not be happy to see a lottery ticket in place of where, dollar bills should be.
Yeah.
But in this case, she was happy to get it in the first place, and wow, $50,000.
That's something. So here's the question. What would you do with $50,000 today, minus taxes, $35,000?
Yeah, but...
What would you do personally?
Personally, just, because with no consequences whatsoever, I'd have to put that away in like a, some kind of investment thing.
That is not life. What would you do with, say, your $35,000 walk away?
Some sort of faraway beach vacation.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Like, Fiji or something like that.
Wow.
Someplace like that. Or even just Hawaii, for a couple of weeks. I think that's what I'd be doing with that money. Yeah.
Shows the different points in life that you and I are in.
Yeah.
Because mine would go to some sort of college savings.
Well, that's, exactly. We're not talking about that. We're talking about dream, situations here.
Right.
You just poo-pooed me, and you made fun of me. Thanks.
Yes.
And if you watch any basketball, Gordon, that most players have a specific routine or a process, if you will, for getting into the right frame of mind for shooting free throws, a task that can be more mental than physical for even the most gifted players. So it would stand to reason that Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid, whose nickname is The Process, would have his own unique ritual, and it's a little bit unusual. Starting this preseason, fans and media have noticed that before taking each free throw, Embiid puts the ball in his left hand and uses his right hand to pick a wedgie. In fact, fan video shows the Sixers center doing this for all 10 of his free throw attempts in a game against Atlanta on Monday night. And if that wasn't enough, the move is accompanied by a pronounced facial expression as well. As unorthodox as it may be, it seems to be working, as he went a perfect 10 for 10 from the line on Monday, which would seem to all but guarantee that all wedgies, whether real or imagined, will be taken care of in-game by Embiid for some time to come.
Wow. Then if he goes on like a cold streak, he misses two, then the routine has to change.
Yeah, I mean, you would think if he gets, things aren't going well for him, he definitely have to do that. Players are very superstitious this way.
So what if other players on his team
are
struggling at the free throw line?
Right.
Could Embiid, in theory, walk up to them before they shoot a free throw and pick a wedgie?
I'm not sure that's allowed by NBA rules, but I'm sure he might. He would probably test that. He's the kind of guy who would sort of put the referees to the test on that kind of thing.
We are superstitious when it comes to sports. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, what's longer, your watch list or your reading list? For me, it's definitely my reading list, but there are not enough hours in the day. Then I found Blinkist. Blinkist is the app that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. It's great on a commute. I like it as a refresher for books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm catching up right now on all kinds of history that I never learned in school. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for spending time with us. You've heard the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, according to a new study, the same may be true for avocados, at least when it comes to lowering bad cholesterol levels. The study, published in the Journal of Nutrition, suggests that eating one avocado a day can lower levels of LDL, the type of cholesterol considered to be bad. For the study, researchers recruited 45 adults who were either overweight or obese. For the first 2 weeks, they ate a diet that mimicked any average American diet. Later, they were separated at random into three groups. Each group either followed a low-fat diet, a moderate-fat diet, or a moderate-fat diet that also involved eating an avocado each day. A press release says 5 weeks later, those who ate an avocado each day had significantly lower levels of LDL, the bad cholesterol. Participants also had higher levels of lutein, an antioxidant, after the avocado diet. A lead researcher called avocados a nutrient-dense package. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Reported in testimony of a White House national security official turned combative as Democrats accused Republicans of trying to unmask the whistleblower who sparked the impeachment inquiry, while the GOP lawmakers argued theirs was a legitimate line of questioning. The appearance by Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman spurred President Trump and his allies to attack his background and credentials, which drew some pushback from Republicans, including Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming.
We need to show that we are better than that as a nation. Their patriotism, their love of country. We're talking about decorated veterans who have served this nation, who have put their lives on the line.
Meanwhile, House Democrats released a resolution laying out how public hearings in their impeachment investigation will be conducted. Firefighters are bracing for a resurgence of strong Santa Ana Desert winds across Southern California after a day of lighter breezes helped them gain ground against a blaze, displacing thousands of Los Angeles residents. L.A. Fire Chief Ralph Tazar says the Getty fire was likely caused by a broken tree branch being blown into power lines.
It is an accidental cause. There is no evidence of a homeless encampment, no evidence of arson. It is an accidental start.
43 of the state's 58 counties are experiencing at or near historic wind events. Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg faced tough questioning from senators about two crashes of 737 MAX jets and whether the company concealed information about a critical flight system from regulators. Members of the Senate Commerce Committee clashed with Muilenburg at a hearing yesterday, cutting him off when they believed he was failing to answer their questions. Committee Chairman Roger Wicker of Mississippi.
Both of these accidents were entirely preventable. We cannot fathom the pain experienced by the families of those 346 human beings who were lost.
The hearing took place exactly 1 year after a 737 MAX crashed off the coast of Indonesia. Baseball fans in Washington and Houston may be thrilled, but the rest of the country is reacting to the World Series so far with a collective yawn. And through the first five games, the Fall Classic averaged 11.6 million viewers. The least watched World Series to this point came in 2012, when an average of 12.6 million people watched San Francisco beat Detroit.
Yikes.
Not good.
Man.
Could be record-breaking low.
Jeez. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. As a wedding planner, Sarah Segru has had to deal with her share of nuptial crises, but nothing may compare to trying to pull off a Chicago couple ceremony on Saturday in Sonoma County as the massive Kincade wildfire raged in the north end of the county. MercuryNews.com says that challenge was reflected in a photo of her newlywed clients, Curtis and Katie Furland, wearing face masks as they stood in a wine country vineyard framed by a smoke-filled sunset. The photo of the couple has since gone viral. In reality, the newlyweds did not exchange their vows while wearing the masks and only briefly posed wearing them, but the smoke from the Kincade fire and PG&E's planned public safety power outages created logistical headaches that are becoming all too common for wine country weddings that take place during fire season. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it's a lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.